Hello and welcome to the Cut 4 Cast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
Hello.
And back from his whirlwind tour of the center of America, Ian Kay. Welcome back, Ian.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Now, you are at every single one of the World Series games, all five. Is that correct?
That is correct.
What was it like?
It was exciting.
Talk about the World Series.
It's really always exciting. You know, I'll take you guys behind the scenes a little bit, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
It's fun. It's cool to go to the World Series, I would say. That's not the hot
thing. Is it fun to go to the World Series?
It is fun. It is fun.
Shocked. Shocking news.
But it's a little odd for me because my job when I'm there is kind of roaming the stadium, mm-hmm. talking to the fans, bring all of you that content that you need. Or, you know, maybe. But... So the weird thing, though, is that when I'm doing that, I'm, like, always on the concourse or, like, in the stands or trying to figure out, like, where the guy who caught that home run is. Mm-hmm. So I don't see every moment of the game. And I catch, like, little bits and pieces from, like, behind someone or, like, looking at a TV that doesn't have sound on. So it's always a little weird. I have to, like, go back and, like, read the game recaps and stuff to, like, figure out what actually happened while I was, you know, on the concourse.
So you're actually, like, a terrible fan, basically. You have no
I'm a
idea
terrible
that.
Fan and a mediocre reporter.
What's, like, the one thing that doesn't come across on the broadcast? Like, is there, like, what makes it different being there versus watching it on TV?
There's usually more, like, nervous energy, especially
really?
At Citi Field. Like, when they came back, the Mets came back, and they were down 2-0. Early in that game three, like, people were nervous. You know, they're excited, they're loud, but there's also, like, some tension in the air.
Yeah.
There's, like, we could be experiencing something really traumatic right now. Like, there's that thought. Like, game three wasn't, but...
They were, like, steeled emotionally and ready for the tragedy that might come, and eventually did come.
Aww.
Sad.
They were ready for it.
At least they were prepared.
They did some emotional prep work. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, oh no, what happened? We've all been there.
Right.
It's sort of weird to watch, like, as a detached fan. Like, I'm not a fan of the Mets or the Royals, especially. It's like watching these people go through the most emotional moments of their sports lives.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, oh, hey, like, this is fun, you know?
Standing there. Can I take your picture?
Right. And, like, when the Royals were mounting that comeback in game five, and, like, as soon as they got a runner on base, it was kind of like, I see what's happening here. And, like, someone else we work with, like, I turned to him. I was like, we can see. We're sort of smiling.
Yeah.
And, like, all these Mets fans were, like, going to lose their, you know, minds.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost had to be like, all right, I have to, like, stop smiling at what's happening right now because I'm the only person.
It was weird, though. Didn't it feel, like, you're right, though, when they got whoever it was on base, I forget it was, Kane drew the walk, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was
Kane. It legitimately felt, I know sitting here, like, I was at the office, I wasn't at the stadium, but I was watching on TV and it was like, oh, they're totally gonna come back. And, and it felt like if I could have bet like a large sum of money on it, obviously I didn't and did not bet on baseball, but if I could, I would bet my life that they were gonna come back, and they did.
You could feel it happening.
It's one of those just weird things in sports where you just know it's about to happen.
Yeah, and I think all 45,000 Mets fans could feel it happening.
I know, it's so crazy. But that was the Royals. That's been the Royals for the past, you know, 2 years. That's amazing that they've reached that level of certainty, because I think there's something, I don't know, I think one of the things I really like about sports isn't when the unexpected happens necessarily, it's when it's something that you absolutely are expecting happen, actually does happen,
right.
And that's almost as amazing, if not more. But welcome back from your whirlwind tour.
Thank you. I was really only gone from New York for like 3 days.
It still counts. You still racked up those frequent flyer miles, which is really what counts.
Yeah.
That's why people get in the beat reporter baseball writer.
Exactly.
Game.
You get bonus and Marriott points.
But we got a lot to get to today that isn't just Ian bragging about being at the World Series. We're going to talk a little bit about some World Series winning traditions. That could be fun. We'll also look forward to the 2016 season. That's right. It's never too early to look forward to the 2016 season. And we'll share some of our methods of dealing with the off-season doldrums, which are now upon us. We have the parade today. We're taping this on Tuesday, and the parade is happening in Kansas City. But once that's done, that's it. It's just the hot stove. So we'll talk a little bit about how we're going to get through it. And thankfully for you and for us, we'll all be here together to get through it. We'll be able to gather around the fire as a team, stay warm in our coats, and wait for spring training and eventually opening day. But before we get to all of that, before opening day, before spring training, before all of this conversation, we have the Cut Forecast Pop Quiz.
There's no off-season for that.
There is no off-season for the Cut Forecast Pop Quiz. That is as eternal as the sun itself. And in honor of the Royals winning the World Series, I took a little look-see back through history. There's no way either of you are going to get this correct. I think it's an interesting...
This is just like every other week.
Just like every other week. I think this is an interesting tidbit that I'm sure you will be interested to learn, and I figured I would pose it in the form of a question. The Royals won the World Series in 2015. Did you know that?
What?
I know. Amazing. They also were in the World Series in 2014. Who was the last team to be the runners-up in a World Series and then follow it the next year with a win?
I actually really like this question. I don't know it, but I like it a lot.
Series and then follow with a win. Let me think.
You guys can discuss together too.
Well, if you said we're not going to get it, it must be from like the 1940s or something. Because I could run back through my head the last 20 years or so.
I'm trying to think of who would have.
Do you want me to give you an era?
Yes.
Late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, see, I thought it might be late 80s, early 90s. I thought it might be like the Blue Jays maybe, or like, but I don't remember 1991 like at all.
Twice.
Yeah, so it would have to be if they made it that far in 91. I don't actually know if that happened for sure. Or like the
Pirates Phillies? Beat the Braves. That was 92, but the Braves didn't win till 95.
Braves was also on my list, but I didn't think it was that consecutive.
They were good back then.
They also got messed up by the strike-shortened season.
That's true. If Dakota's saying late 80s, early 90s, who lost the 1989 World Series that
won the
90
World Series? Yeah.
90 World Series. That was the 1990 World Series.
Do you want me to give you years?
Yes.
They lost in 1988 and won in 1989.
19.
So now, essentially, I'm asking you, who won the World Series in 1989?
Who did win the 1989 World Series?
Someone, you're listening right now and you're shouting into your...
You are shouting. You're all shouting, yes.
The Reds?
No. Do you want me to give you the manager of the team?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tony La Russa.
Oh, that's the A's.
That is the Oakland Athletics.
Oh,
won
actually.
In
oh, yeah. That, I feel like, obviously, the they, it would have been in 1989 because, yeah.
That's the last time. And before that, it was something in, like, the 40s or 50s was the last time it had happened before that. So it's pretty rare for a team.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So shout out to Ned Yost. Shout out to the Kansas City Royals on pulling off the rare feat. It's pretty impressive. All right, let's get into our discussion here. This first question came from, Gemma, why don't you talk a little bit about this? The Giants celebrated the Royals World Series for them.
They did. That was very nice of them. They sent them some pizza.
Yeah.
It's a tradition, generally, that the team that won the year before sends pizza to the new champions.
It's a new tradition now.
It's a new tradition, yeah.
It's a new tradition.
It's nice. They just made it.
Yeah. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Why not do that?
Yeah.
So what other traditions do we think should be involved in winning the World Series? You know, as of right now, it's actually pretty open-ended. You have the parade, you have the World Series MVP, you have the champagne and all that, but there's not like a other like weird traditions like handing down a green jacket or something like that you would see at the Masters or whatever. Ian, why don't we start with you? What do you think would be like a great new tradition for the World Series winners to do?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the green jacket and the Masters, because I was actually going along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the World Series trophy should be presented by the previous year's World Series MVP.
Like the Oscars, like when the best actor from the year before. Is that not a thing that happens?
Yeah, that's
what happens, right?
The best actor.
Definitely never made that connection.
Yeah, the best actor gives the best actress award. And
yeah.
The best actress gives the best actor award.
Yeah. Right, yeah, so exactly like that. I think because, like, the World Series MVP, they announce it every year, but it's sort of, like, forgotten. Mm-hmm. Because either it was some guy who, you know, had a good World Series, but is, like, a relatively obscure player, or it's something like Bumgarner, who did win last year. I didn't even confirm that. But, like, everyone remembers Bumgarner for his performance in Game 7. Him winning the MVP on top of that was, like, just kind of an afterthought. But if he had to come back and then present the trophy, first of all, like, you know, have a player presenting it, there's potential for comedy there, especially with someone like Bumgarner, and you had a scenario like this where it was the same team in twice in a row, like, what would Bumgarner have done? How would he have handed it to the Royals? Would it have been like, oh, like, good for you, you guys finally got one, like, that's nice. You know, I just think that it'd be cool to have someone involved who was, like, not necessarily a neutral party, like, you know, the commissioner or broadcaster, whoever hands it over now. I think that could be more fun, and it gives, like, this little job that the World Series MVP has to do the next year.
I'm in agreement about that. What I like, too, is it should be, like, one of those things where World Series MVP is, like, an office that you hold for the whole year, and there are many responsibilities that are, like, it's like being Miss America or whatever. You just have a bunch of stuff that you have to do. I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
Maybe they actually would have an office in the MLB office.
You could just go for the World Series sit MVP. In there and...
Fill out their correspondence. You know.
Just like one of these cubes over here?
Yeah.
Like in our office?
Yeah. In the Cup.
One of the
we'll have the
desk.
World Series MVP desk in the Cup 4 office.
Right, in the Cup 4 office
they
space.
Can use it.
Yeah, Sal, if you need
if
to...
If you want to come sit, do some work in an office.
You never know what kind of weird jobs the World Series MVP may have to do, in addition to handing over the commissioner's trophy.
I like that. I think it's a really nice tradition. I think it's really...
Be fun,
you know,
right?
Yeah, I'm in favor of more camaraderie all the time, anyway. Yeah.
What's your idea?
This is a very bad idea. I'm going to preface it with saying it's not a good idea.
Okay.
However, I think it would be a very interesting idea. So you know how every year the team that wins the World Series gets to go hang out at the White House with the president for the day.
Of course.
And like take tours, take pictures, whatever. Just have a great time. So I think that the team that wins the World Series should get to pass one law on that day. Just and pass one law. I imagine they'd probably be mostly ceremonial laws, like, you know, maybe the Royals would be like, the national animal of America for 1 year is Slugger, I don't know. But maybe they have some really important, you know, feelings about policy that they want to get across in that time.
That's terrifying.
I know,
that is a terrifying
idea. I told you it was a bad idea, but I think it would be really fun for me to watch.
Ned Yost's campaign finance platform, finally.
Why not? Why not?
That, I don't know how I feel about that.
Again,
I probably feel pretty negative.
Not a good idea. However, when I become a Canadian citizen, I'll just be in Canada watching this unfold, and it will be great.
Well, yeah, that's not
great
if,
fodder for think pieces the across
Jays
the land.
Win. Should we give like a Canadian entity the right to draft a law in our country?
I guess they would have to draft a law in Canada. They would have to become a Canadian law.
I assume that if the Blue Jays won, they would get invited to.
Yeah, the
Prime
Minister.
Wherever the Prime Minister lives in Canada.
Apartment.
The Blue House.
Just... It's a tree house and a maple tree.
It's a log cabin.
Yeah.
Terrible. Thanks for encouraging all Canadians to...
Look, we love Canada. We're obviously very pro-Canada.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Very pro-Canada. That's my proposal for a new tradition.
Would they meet Obama? Like, would they be interested in meeting Obama or the American president, do you think?
Well, some of them are Americans. It's
yeah, I feel like
it's just 100% Canadian. Yeah. They're mostly,
mostly Canadians, except for, like, Russell Martin and there's a couple others.
Yeah, there's...
There's a few.
Yeah.
I think they definitely would want to meet President Trump. Yeah.
that's a very solid point, Ian.
Yeah.
So my idea, I don't know if you remember this, but in 2013... at the Red Sox parade, there were several of the duck boats were a part of that parade. Jake Peavy, who was on the Red Sox at the time, was so amazed and just so happy that on the spot he bought one of the duck boats and took it with him back to his like farm or whatever. I think every baseball player has a farm. And I thought that
ranch.
Was awesome. A ranch,
a
ranch.
Surrounded by rivers, like what you can do with the duck boat on your farm.
Yeah, well, he liked it because I guess there's a lot of water on his ranch/farm.
That's good.
And it's a good way of traversing the water and the land simultaneously.
True, yes.
Pretty cool. But so I thought that was cool. And so I think you should have to buy something associated with the parade. That should be like, that should be a thing that at least one member of the team will have to do. So like for the Royals today, maybe they have to buy like, one of the buses that the team is on or buy like a paver on the side of the road that was keeping the fans a respectful distance from the parade. That kind of like you should have to sort of invest a little bit in to take home some collateral from the parade. I like that. I think that would be smart. I also thought the other thing you could do would be the winning team should have to buy something for the losing team's stadium or fans. So like
oh, you know
you
what?
Could buy like everybody
nice.
In Citi Field on the first day of on opening day of 2016, you all get a free hat because
a Royals hat.
Because of the Royals. Yeah, you all get a free Royals hat.
Free Royals
to remember the series that you'll definitely want to remember, or you know, or even like this, like buy like a nice, I don't know, sculpture for the stadium of David Wright majestically looking to the north.
Make it like some people could just go like super condescending.
That's half the fun too, though. And then they have to, that has to be in the, it's like, oh, well, they got us this gift. I guess we have to
put it here. It's actually a Trojan horse and it breaks open and it's just full of Royals paraphernalia. And
Or like, it's just like a massive screen of like Eric Hosmer scoring.
Yeah. And then when the team shows up to play the next year, they can be like, where's the statue? And it can be like really awkward, like when your grandma gets you a sweater and you're not wearing it.
I had to get it resized.
Right? I feel like that has some good potential to really stir up a rivalry.
I also, you know what? I think that's a nice gesture, though. If we were to take away the Trojan horse statue and instead have, you know, why not get the Mets a bunch of Haagen-Dazs or some ice cream?
Yeah.
You know,
just, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
I do see how it could maybe look a little condescending, but maybe if you write a nice card, as you're supposed to do when you get somebody a gift.
Hey, we are not sorry that we beat you in the World Series, but please enjoy this fruit basket.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Love
you in the World
Dayton
Series.
Moore.
But, you know, ice cream's good, too. I don't know. That was my thought. I feel like those, I like all of these. I don't love...
Okay, but you like it. You just acknowledge that it's really unsafe. It would be fun, but not necessarily great for the nation.
Yeah, makes me concerned.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on here to our next topic. Now, I'm kind of sad about moving on, though, because that was our topic about the World Series. And the next topics are, you know, about 2016 and about the offseason. I don't know that I'm ready to let go, guys. I don't know.
Do you want to have, like, a moment of remembrance?
Should we?
Yeah. I will remember you. You know the song?
I've never heard of that song. I don't know what you're talking
about. They make, like, audio, like, a Vine. Can we just Vine that, what just happened there?
Yeah.
Dakota singing that?
I think we
should
do it.
I think this is sad. I just think we need to have a moment to remember the 2015 season. Nice moment, guys. That was good.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on now. Eyes looking forward. Ian, we started with you on the last one. So, Gemma, I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
2016 is right around the bend. What are you most looking forward to in the 2016 season?
I'm already so overwhelmed by the prospect of winter, you know? I'm not ready for it to happen. I hate wearing socks. I hate wearing layers. It's just all terrible. So I'm just excited for it. I just, as we discussed, baseball should just always be happening. Like, multiple seasons should just be happening all the time.
Right.
So I'm just ready. I'm ready for baseball to come back. I'm already prepared for teams to, like, have their miracle Aprils and be like, wait, could never have seen this coming. I think there's going to be a lot of shuffling around, actually, in the divisions now, because a lot of things happened this year were unexpected. Like, no one thought the Mets were going to win in April. So I'm ready for that narrative to start up again, but just with a different team. Yeah. Like, oh, what a magical run. That's what I like.
You like the magic.
I like the magic. I like things. I like teams defying the predictions that were made of them.
Even the Royals.
In February. Even the Royals.
A lot of people didn't.
Won a lot more games than anyone thought they were going to.
Yeah. So, myself included. Mea culpa. Sorry. Sorry, Royals fans.
Yeah.
I was not a believer. I am now, obviously.
You have to be.
Reality we live in. So, but yes, I agree with that. There's always going to be that, like, one or two teams that are just like, what?
Yeah, I'm ready to be really surprised.
The Rangers, they won their division. How'd
I
that
love
happen?
That. Oh, you know what I am ready for? You know what I'm really excited for? I'm excited for you, Darvish.
Yes. I know. All the people who we've missed. Darvish.
That was my feeling. You know, I liked the Rangers team. I really liked this year's Rangers team, but I was like, I really don't want them to go that far without Yu Darvish, because if I have to watch a World Series with the Rangers but not Yu Darvish...
That would be sad.
Heartbreaking. I love Yu Darvish. I don't know if you guys know about that, but like... emotional love for Yu Darvish.
I'm getting the sense.
It's very important to me. He's very important to me.
Of Yu Darvish.
Yes. It was kind of nice. We did get a little taste. Like, we saw Stroman again.
Yeah.
We saw Wainwright again. A couple of guys.
That's right.
We need Fernandez.
That was exciting.
We need Jose Fernandez for real backseas. Mm-hmm. Ian, what are you most looking forward to in 2016?
Well, I think we've established on previous podcasts that there's kind of like a trickle-down effect when it comes to popular hairstyles, where they start with European professional athletes and they trickle to American professional athletes and they trickle to the American public. And we saw this in the last year with, like, the, you know, shave sides, but, like, long on top thing. You know, that was coming. And I'm kind of excited to see what the next trend is going to be. And I'm not entirely sure yet. We've already seen, like, Bryce Harper bleached his hair platinum blonde. You know, is that a thing that we're going to see other baseball players do and then regular people do? You know, or what the, you know, maybe it'll be like a horizontal strip of long hair in the middle of your head. You know, there's a lot of possibilities. I feel like
I think it'll be that.
A horizontal faux hawk?
Well, it just
like
goes,
a fade that just goes, like, on the, like, the hemisphere of your head?
It, like, a sun. Like, if your face is the round part, and then it goes from your beard all the way around to the top of your head.
Like a lion's mane.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I really want someone to try that.
I think that could be a thing that happens.
That's how you guys should spend your offseason.
Well, I know.
Cultivating that haircut.
Ellie, we started the season with you telling us to shave the Cut 4 logo.
And none of you did, which is shameful.
We're finishing it now with you trying to get us to grow a lion's mane.
Well, it'll keep you warm and cold.
I'm just saying that one extra perk of following baseball is you find these things before everyone else does because they come from athletes first, and I'm excited for another year of that.
It's a good perk.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think added bonus? What do you think it's going to be? Like, all some of the long-haired guys, they're cutting their hair. DeGrom is getting rid of the do.
The horizontal.
That's going to be it for sure. We're not going to, like, throw back to the, like, 40s haircuts.
The blonde top.
Yeah, like the Stroman thing.
Yeah, the Stroman thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
DeAndre Yedlin, I believe, was one of the first to do that for the U.S. men's national soccer team. A few others.
Yeah, there's a few. Yeah. I think that could be more popular.
I also like the shaving of stuff into this side. I
think words?
Yeah, more words.
Designs.
And, like, yeah, I want more of that.
Well, I don't see how you can endorse that style when you refuse to get cut for shaved into your own haircut.
My hair is terrible.
So
any sort of pattern being in it is just going to make it worse, frankly. Okay, so I started my list just writing Puig in all caps. We didn't really get a full year of Puig.
Yeah.
We didn't get, like, Puig at 100%, which is the only kind of Puig that really I want to see, frankly. It's just full-on Puig. All caps Puig. So I'm looking forward to a full year of that. Jason Hayward, where's he going to be? That's pretty cool. I'm looking forward
That's
to seeing
exciting.
Where he's going to wind up because I love Jason Hayward. I think he's so cool. I think he's so good at baseball. And watching him play baseball, I don't know where it's going to be, so I'd like to know. And I'm excited to find out. Same with Cespedes.
Yeah.
And then what's going to happen with the Mets? This, you know, as I've said earlier at the beginning of the episode, it's rare for a team to lose the World Series and then go back and win it the next year. I don't know where they go from here. It's pretty exciting to find out all the pitching, all of the areas where it was sort of clear they needed to get a little bit better. I'm excited to see what happens. That was what I sort of thought.
Where do you think the Puig will be taking place next year?
Los Angeles.
You think he's staying?
Yes, I do. It would be terrible to lose him, I feel like, just because I don't think this year was his true talent level, and so I think that, like, if you move him, you're betting on him not being as good as he was the 2 years previous, which I think is not a smart bet, considering he was hurt most of this year, and there was a lot of, like, weird stuff going on behind the scenes, and I think that there's, like, you know, the fact that there's going to be a new manager, I think it would be silly to move Puig before you even see how he interacts with the new manager. So I think he's got to stay in L.A. unless they get, like, a Godfather offer for him from the team that I will be the general manager of. If somebody hires me, and I'll be like, just take everybody and we'll just Puig. That's all we need. You
right,
get the rest
right.
of the roster.
Our Puig clone team that we made.
Yeah, the Puig
time.
Clone
right.
team.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you this. It's never too early to predict who's going to win the 2016 World Series. Ian, who's going to win the 2016 World Series?
Oh, man. The Pirates.
Why?
Because they'll be the best team in 2016.
Okay, good reason.
That was going to be my pick, too. I was also going to pick the Pirates.
Why?
It's time. The window is, you know, it's narrow, but this is when they're going to make it before it closes. It's going to be their year. Or, you know, the Cubs, just because that would be really bittersweet to be like, oh, we didn't fulfill our 2015 prediction of World Series in the future, so we'll do the Parks and Rec one instead.
Yeah, I think they would be okay with that. I mean, I think there would be bitterness.
No bitterness, only but from people who are like, I really wish this had become reality.
Yeah.
They'll have to settle for the Parks and Rec prediction that the Cubs will in fact win in 2016.
My pick here, I'm going to make one of two. As you remember, in the NBA last year, the Golden State Warriors replaced their coach with Steve Kerr. they went on to win the NBA title. I think something similar will happen in this coming year. I think it will be either the Dodgers or the Nationals. We just heard that Dusty Baker reports are saying that he's going to Washington. We don't know who's going to Los Angeles to manage the Dodgers. One of those two teams is going to be your World Series winner. You heard it here first on the Cub Forecast.
I'm excited for us all to be wrong. But
yes, I'm sure we all will be
Steve wrong. Kerr is going to manage the Dodgers.
Yes, you heard that here first too. Steve Kerr is going to manage the Dodgers to a World Series title. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yes.
I'll take your silence as a yes. All right, let's move on here to our final topic of the podcast. It's the last topic, guys. So as you know, the offseason is upon us. Baseball is not going to be happening for several months now, at least. There's the Arizona Fall League, which is fun, and you should watch that, but it's not Major League Baseball proper. And so what we're trying to do is come up with some methods of coping with the offseason doldrums, the ice-cold winter blues, if you will. Gemma, what do you do to sort of stay not crazy during the off season?
I just am crazy. There's really none.
You're right. What do you do to mitigate the crazy during the off season?
I wish I could just hibernate, honestly, because I don't like winter. Baseball is my favorite sport, and I just don't. I like hockey a lot, but it's on a literal sheet of ice, and I hate that. It's cold. I don't want it. It's too cold. But there's so much winter baseball to watch, actually. There are Caribbean leagues, there's the Australian Baseball League, so there'll be something to get me through it. And
so
I'll drink.
Just watch more baseball.
Just keep watching baseball. It's not like it ends. It's just not American baseball. It's around, though. So that's what I'm going to do. And drink a lot of hot chocolate and, like, just not leave my apartment and make a fort out of blankets and stay in it for, like, 5 months. That's my plan.
Yeah, okay, it sounds like you're taking a very mature approach to the off season.
Yeah, a little TV with Australian baseball, Dominican baseball.
You're gonna build a fort with it, and you're gonna stream Australian
Sam,
baseball.
Sam, tell me that a baseball fort doesn't sound awesome.
No, it sounds great.
And then I'll have like a little s'mores thing. I can make myself some s'mores and drink hot chocolate. It'd be awesome.
It is
crazy. It does not in any way not sound crazy. But
as we said, we're mitigating the crazy, not staving it off.
Yeah, exactly.
Jim's pretending like most Cut 4 posts aren't written from a baseball blanket fort.
I'm pretty sure that's like where Claire lives.
Yeah.
Michael
yeah.
Claire, our yes. Cut 4 writer. Uh-huh. Ian, what do you have? What's your ideas for staying sane?
Well, I think there's kind of two types of people when it comes to like consuming media and pop culture and stuff, mm-hmm. like, and emotions. There's some people that when they're feeling down because of something like no baseball, they'll like look to things that'll uplift them, you know, like happy music or movies that they enjoy or that kind of thing. But I go the other way, which is I need something that like aligns with my feelings. And right now those feelings are kind of bleak. It's sort of dark. The days are short. So I'm looking for pretty much the most depressing things that I can find, which is why I'm very excited to catch up on The Leftovers. Gonna fire up my HBO now. And
I hear that's pretty cheerful, that show. I hear it makes you feel really good about the world.
Last season, there was a cult of people who only wore white, didn't speak, and chain-smoked cigarettes because life didn't matter anymore.
Great. And, sounds like a
so
great
that's
winter.
That's pretty much how no baseball makes me feel during the winter. I've heard the new season is better, and I'm excited to find out.
Okay. Cool.
That sounds really
that's
sad.
Coming up.
Yeah. I would probably take the baseball fort over
yeah,
that.
Yep.
That sounds a
s'mores
little bit
and
more
hot chocolate.
Fun.
All right.
S'mores, hot chocolate, and Australian baseball sounds a little bit more fun. Not gonna lie.
Compared to not speaking at all and just.
Well, I'm just going to watch them do that.
You say that now. You say that now.
Yeah, soon you'll emulate their
soon
behavior.
Soon you're going to come into work in an all-white outfit. It's going to happen.
If I have a notepad hanging around my neck, I'm writing messages
whiteboard.
In Sharpie, then you know.
Well, so I thought, I threw a bunch of stuff at the wall because I don't really know what I'm going to do. I'm still in the bargaining phase, or I guess denial, where I'm like, oh, no, it's fine. Baseball, no, it's still here, right? It's fine. Arizona Fall League. So, like, I am still in that phase. So I came up with a bunch of ideas, one of which, a baseball book club.
Mm. That'd be fun.
We have the baseball book expert here on the podcast with us, Gemma Kaneko.
I like being an expert in something.
You're definitely
an expert. I'm not sure if that's totally accurate, but that's all right.
And so, like, that would be fun with me to pick a book to read every couple weeks about baseball, read it, and then talk about it with other people. That's a good way of getting through the off season. Planning fake road trips to all 30 MLB stadiums.
But you're never going to do them. You're just fake planning.
Yeah, they're fake. Okay, so there's a whole genre of people who planning the trip is as fun, if not more fun, than actually going on the trip.
Who are those people?
Those people totally exist.
I love comparing flight prices. Yeah,
you know, you laugh. There's a whole community of us out. There are literally tens of us out there who like planning trips. And so that's fun, is being like, oh, well, you know, how could I make it happen? How could I hit all 30? Or like, what's the best route you could take that combines efficiency but also being scenic, right? If you were gonna try. Okay, so not that. I'm not doing that.
I love like deep map questing.
Yeah, map questing. And then I thought maybe like window shopping merchandise on MLB.com/online auctions of like old memorabilia. That's cool. And just be like, oh, if I won the lottery, I'd love to buy this game-used pair of pants for $10,000 that Julio Lugo wore once. Like, that would be fun. So I do a lot of that.
Dakota dreaming big, planning a fake road trip and online window shopping.
You can do anything.
This is my winter, friends. The other things, if you appreciate the athletic greatness of our professional baseball players, you can try to fill that gap of witnessing athletic greatness with other things. For example, winter is a great time for ballet. I know in New York, we have the New York City Ballet is here. They do a fantastic winter season. I will certainly be there seeing that. Athletic greatness. If you want something more competitive than that, there are obviously other sports you could invest yourself in. The official second sport of the Cup Forecast, yes. Soccer. You could start watching that.
Yes.
That's something that certainly I will be filling a lot of my time with. So, yeah, those are my ideas. Just a lot of different ideas. Because I legitimately don't know what I'm going to do.
Baseball book club is great. We should do it. Everything else, I feel questionable about.
So you don't like the ballet?
I like the ballet.
Wow, who
You're
knew
right.
that
you know
Gemma
what?
Kaneko
you know
is so opposed
I like
to ballet,
ballet
and dance?
I like
Some
the ballet.
Some people just can't understand the finer arts.
It's true. Clearly, Gemma
has like put on dozens of plays, I think.
Dozens. And I don't understand any
Hundreds?
Of them. I've yeah, never not... even seen a play that I have directed.
No, but you know, oh wait, so here's another, okay, story time for a second, because first of all, we have to give a shout out to Cup 4 writer emeritus Dan Wall, who was wedded this
yes.
past weekend, so mm-hmm. congratulations to you and your lovely wife, Marissa, and this is somewhat related to this, because one of the other sports you can get invested in is basketball, the NBA is back, and this wedding was on Halloween. And I was told by Cut 4 writer emeritus Dan Wall that it would be sort of costume-y.
People could wear costumes.
Yeah, people could wear costumes. Yes. And what I didn't learn, what I now know, which I did not know at the time, is that a good rule of thumb is that if there's a formal event and everybody's like, no, 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 you don't have to dress nicely, don't worry about it, that's a lie. And always dress nicely if it's a wedding or if it's some sort of a reception. Never take that seriously. Always understand that they're saying that, but the subtext is, but really you should be like wearing a black tie. So I showed up dressed as Russell Westbrook in a post-game press conference. I had on red glasses and a really loud shirt that was like rainbow patterned and jeans and just
jeans.
Shoes.
And the hoodie, but you left it in the car.
Yeah, and I had on a hoodie, which I left in the car, but because that wasn't really part of the costume. It was just because it was cold. And so I roll into the wedding, and here I am wearing my silly costume, and everybody else is in, like, suits and ties. And I was like, hey, guys. And people were like, the best moment was one of the guests who we were seated with at the table looks at me and goes, so are you going to change into a costume later tonight?
Oh, my God.
So that was a high point.
That was
certainly
really
a high point. But that's a good rule of thumb for you listening.
Wait, was anyone else wearing a costume?
Yes, yes. However, everyone had, yes. Our friend, our wedding friend that
we
made.
We had a friend who was wearing a nice dress and a wig.
She was Sydney Bristow from Alias. But however, she did manage to wear a very nice dress as
yeah.
well.
So were most people wearing like formal theme costumes?
Yes.
Most people were wearing just straight up formal attire.
Yes. That one guy did have full face makeup on though. Like
we
like,
think.
No, he did though, because he washed it off later. He had like a white face and like painted red lips. I don't know what that was, but he had full face makeup on.
It was weird.
And then there were other people that we questioned whether that was just how they looked.
Dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
My favorite thing was when that guy asked you if you were Keith Haring.
Yeah. This was quite the party.
But that was the shirt that Dakota was wearing. It made someone think that he was Keith Haring.
Yeah, so rule of thumb, always dress nicely. You never know when you're going to be the guy not dressed nicely. So that's a good rule of thumb. But yeah, shout out to Dan Wall. Congratulations.
Thank you for inviting us and having us at your wedding.
Mazel tov to Dan.
Mazel tov. All right, now we've reached that time. It's not only is it the end of the 2015 season, it's the end of our cut forecast for this week. And it's time to summarize everything that we've discussed into 140 characters or one tweet. So, as you know, Twitter recently changed it. So no longer will you favorite things. Now you are, what is it, liking them?
Heart.
With a heart. You're hearting them. I don't know. So that's going to totally change the calculus here today. But Gemma, we'll start with you. Why not?
Okay.
Why don't you give us your first
tweet? I'm actually going to use another new Twitter feature in my tweet. Okay. I'm going to do a Twitter poll for my tweet, okay?
I thought we might get a moment.
And I don't know if I'm allowed to have that. But okay, so it's going to be this offseason, what would you prefer? And then the options will be baseball legislature or baseball blanket fort? Hashtag cut forecast.
That's really good. I would vote in that poll, and I would vote for the blanket fort.
I didn't see an option for Justin throws abs.
is that also what happens on The Leftovers? He just doesn't wear a shirt?
That happens a lot on The Leftovers.
All right, Ian, what do you got? What's your summary?
Okay. The most exciting MLB storyline of 2016 will be finding out who else's wedding photos Dakota Gardner ruined.
Yeah. It will happen again.
I'm going to go ahead and heart that tweet. I'll
retweet it. I don't care. It's true. All right, mine. Coming in 2016, : ballet, comma, Yasiel Puig, comma, David Wright statue, comma, me ruining more wedding photographs, period.
Hashtag cut forecast.
If you have a tweet that better summarizes this podcast in 140 characters, normally I say you would. This time, why are you even spending your time summarizing this podcast in 140 characters when really all you need to do is just tweet at me, at Dakota Gardner, what are you doing? Dress nicely for a wedding, you moron. But if you guys
tweet at Dakota enough, he'll have to tweet out the photo of him in the wedding in this costume.
Yeah. I do have a photo of me wearing the costume.
I wonder if we took
that. I will happily share that on the Twitters. But if you do have a summary, please tweet at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast while you are following us on Twitter. Or maybe you aren't following us on Twitter,
maybe
which
you should
do. We're at Cut4. But while you're there, you can read more of our content at mlb.com/Cut4. You can like us on Facebook now in addition to liking us on Twitter. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Cut4. And you can go to iTunes and subscribe to this podcast there, and we will show up each and every week in your listening device, and you can listen to more strange words pouring out of my and into your earbuds, which clearly you definitely want to do. And while you're there, you can write us a review, 1 to 5 stars. If you write us a review, we will read it on the Cut Forecast, which last week we had 2 reviews, this week we had none, but next week maybe we'll have 5, one of which will be yours. Who knows? Wouldn't that be exciting?
So exciting.
Ian, thank you for coming back from Kansas City.
Anytime.
And Gemma, thank you for being here as always.
You know what? I'm happy to be.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. And mostly, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.